All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Week 7 podcast of Take the Points. I am Tom Zeleznok, live as always from Hartford, Connecticut. Dan Partridge is not available this week. He is out in a hotel orgy with Adrian Peterson. But fortunately, we have a substitute host. That is Mr. Ryan Spillett. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, Tom. What's up, man?
So Ryan is live from Phoenix, just as Dan usually is, on Skype. And he will be our stand-in West Coast expert slash gambling enthusiast for the week.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So I think we should just start off with a recap of last week's games because I think we both agree it was one of the most incredible weeks of college football we can ever remember.
Oh, absolutely. It was fantastic. Every game was really entertaining in its own way.
So we need to start with the biggest one, which was Ole Miss's upset over Bama. A remarkable scene. I mean, either team could have won that, but Ole Miss made the plays at the end, especially causing the fumble of Christian Jones. And is that his name, Christian Jones? I feel like I'm messing that up.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. So they caused the fumble. That was when I thought that Ole Miss really had a chance to win that game. And Bo Wallace came through with the big pass at the end. Ole Miss has some very good receivers, I noticed.
Oh, yeah. I love Laquon Treadwell is unbelievable. I mean, he's unguardable. He's Julio Jones.
Yeah, we'll get into it later in the podcast, but there's just so many good receivers in the SEC this year. And of course the conference is normally known for defense and rushing. So it's cool to see they've just separated themselves. I mean, I say it every week that the SEC, especially the SEC West, is so good, but it seems they just keep getting better.
Oh yeah. I mean, everybody's, you know, has to catch up. And I think it's finally happened. I think Ole Miss has had two consecutive top five recruiting classes, and Mississippi State has done a great job. I read a great article about the turnaround with those two programs is when they started getting out-of-state recruits.
So share with us. I mean, what was it? Is it the new coaches? You know, Hugh Freeze, Dan Mullen, they've done a great job.
They absolutely have. They're great coaches, and they came from great programs, but I think, yeah, the real key was because of the bonds that they built at other schools, they were able to take that and recruit in Virginia and Texas and Georgia. I mean, the number five, I'm going to butcher his name, in Ndikwe or whatever, for Ole Miss, he was the number one recruit in the country, and he's from I think he's from Georgia. And how does a kid from Georgia end up at Ole Miss?
Right, especially when you could play at Georgia or Georgia Tech even. I mean, I don't know. Ole Miss and Mississippi State have never really been the marquee places for players to go unless they grew up in the state. But it's cool because the thing that every college football fan knows, of course, but the casual fans might not know is that coaching gives you such a huge advantage and recruiting really is, you know, not everything, but, you know, three quarters of the battle is just the players you get on your team. Certain teams just have great players year in and year out. And Ole Miss and Mississippi State look like they want to make that jump into that elite level. And it's
absolutely
cool. And I love the scene after. One of the reasons I love college football was seeing them tear down the goalposts. It was half of me thinks these kids are going to die when they're jumping up and down on the goalposts as people are trying to tear it down. And then half of me just thinks like, why the hell can't I be back in college? Or why did I go to a small private school and not like a giant SEC Southern school?
I feel that way a lot. You and I both went to the very small private schools. Did you have football?
We had football, but they were not competitive at the time. They aren't competitive now either, but it was the stadium was worse than my high school stadium, our high school stadium. So it was not really a treat. Plus, there was no tailgating permitted. So really, there was no reason to ever go to a football game.
Yeah, that makes sense. We didn't even have a football team at my college. So that was definitely something I've learned as I've gotten older in life is going to a school that has a football program, a good one. It just changes the college experience completely. living as I do 3 miles from Arizona State campus and their football stadium. It's literally 3 miles. Every time they score, they set off fireworks from the mountain next to the stadium, and I can see it from my backyard. Well, which is great when I have DirecTV, which does not get Pac-12 network. So whenever Arizona State's on Pac-12, I just go sit in the backyard, and I can tell you what the score is.
What did you think about Mississippi State? I mean, Dak Prescott, of course, looks amazing. I didn't get to see much of this because my parents were visiting. I had to entertain them. Luckily, my dad falls asleep at, 7 o'clock because he's an old man.
They do that, yes.
So I did get to see 75% of the games, but this is one that I barely caught a minute of.
Well, I definitely had the good fortune of getting to watch this game. And as your listeners know, Dan and myself both are big Kevin Sumlin fans and love A&M. And, looking forward to that game. But we just had a feeling that that Dak Prescott was going to get it done. And that defense is fantastic. I think their corners are really underrated. I think what they did against that passing offense is unbelievable. And I think Dak's got a lot of Tebow to him. Same number, same build. I think he's got that magic, that Tebow magic maybe.
He's a great, great player. He's worked himself into the Heisman, maybe the Heisman favorite at this point of the season. What we said last week is that A&M has a little bit of a suspect run defense. This was something that most people probably didn't know because I think most people really only saw A&M in the first week of the season when they blew out South Carolina, who, as it turns out, isn't that great. But A&M's run defense is very shaky, and they were exposed, I believe, to America against Mississippi State.
Yeah, I think they definitely have some flaws. I think there's still too much of their personnel is Big 12 personnel defensively.
Absolutely.
They need to get into the SEC defensively. I mean, say what you will about the spread offense moving into the SEC, and it has, but they still have men playing defense, and A&M has college players playing defense.
Right, and I don't want to take away from A&M. I still think they're a great team. They would finish second place probably in the ACC and the Big Ten, but they're going to struggle. I mean, I don't think they're going to be able to win the SEC West or even, finish in the top three if they can't shore up the defense. And it might be, too late to do that at this point. So we'll see how that goes. I think they could finish with a nice, 8-4, 9-3 record.
I agree. I think that's about right for them. And they'll get better. Absolutely. Great recruiting. And Kenny Trill is great. But what people might not know is that barely beat out the true freshman, Kyle Allen, who's from here in Arizona, and I got to watch in high school. Actually went and watched him play. Number one rated prospect in the country. I honestly wouldn't be surprised if he beats out Kenny Hill next year.
Oh, I don't picture both of them staying for next year. There's just no way. I just think in this day and age where guys transfer when they have to sit for a game, that Kyle Allen's going to be out of there next year. He'll be starting at, whether it's like a MAC school or something like that, maybe a Mountain West school. He might be your new TCU quarterback after Boykins graduates, something like that. So
maybe, but honestly, I think he might beat out Hill next year. I think he's that good. And they got the number 3 or 4 rated prospect coming next year.
Jesus, Sumlin is so good.
Great. Recruiting. It's great. And by the way, just want to throw this out there. The quarterback who took over for Kyle Allen in high school, Kurt Warner's son.
Of course.
Keep an eye on him in the recruiting rankings. He's going to be pretty good.
Of course, of course. And I can never pass up an opportunity to make fun of Michigan, so I just want to remind fans that they could have had Kevin Sumlin, but instead they chose Brady Hoke. Nice work there, Michigan.
Good job.
Speaking of great coaches, Gus Malzahn's doing a hell of a job at Auburn. They destroyed LSU. Now, LSU might be the worst team in the SEC West, but they're still LSU, and they're still a strong team, and they've still got Les Miles 4- and 5-star recruits. Auburn is just that good, I think.
Couldn't agree more. I think Auburn's the best team in the country, and as you said, with Dak Prescott being a Heisman front runner, I think it really it's going to be him and Nick Marshall. I think it's going to come down to those two.
Okay, so I actually put together my midseason take the points power rankings.
Ooh, all right.
Before I get to that, would you like to say anything about Arizona State's Hail Mary win against USC?
It was awesome. It was a great thing to see. Jalen Strong is unbelievable receiver. I know the defense was bad, but before that, he still had like 160 yards receiving before the Hail Mary. He's the best back shoulder wide receiver in the country, and that's huge looking into the pros. It was a great victory, and for me, it was even better because the over-under of 69.5 went over on the Hail Mary. Thank you very much. I'll take that win.
There's nothing beats a great gambling moment like that where you're not expecting to get it, and then just a garbage time TD or a Hail Mary or some kind of crazy play, and you end up winning a game that you definitely should have lost.
Love the backdoor cover.
I want to say, first off, it was great for, you know, I know you and Dan, ASU guys, living out there in Phoenix. I have no dog in this fight, but it was awesome to see the backup QB, Berkovici, come away with that. You know, after all the criticism he took after the UCLA blowout, it was really cool. And I feel bad for ASU because they lost Taylor Kelly. I thought they were, you know, a top 10 caliber team with him. I will say in defense of the USC cornerback, the one who just stood there while the ball got grabbed for the touchdown. First off, the pace of the game was moving incredibly quickly. I mean, USC was up, 9 points or something like that, and everybody thought the game was over. Yep. ASU scores on a 73-yard bomb. Yep. And then with, you know, a couple seconds left, Berkovici just launches it. Now they're moving the hurry-up offense, you know, moving quickly. I don't think USC guys really had time to get their head in the game, so to speak. And also, you know, he was looking at the ball. The ball was coming straight down at him. He thought he had it. The Arizona State guy sort of came out of nowhere. So I don't think you can totally hold the USC guy accountable. You'd like him to be aggressive and go after the ball, but the ASU guy just snuck out of nowhere. That's what made it so great. So I would celebrate the catch and not make fun of the guy who didn't knock it down.
I agree. I think the job is to track the ball. That should come from the guy in front. You know, there should have been a guy tracking the ball and watching it, as there's also the back line. So I think that that's where they failed. You're right. It's not necessarily the guys in the back line. Where was the guys in front of them? I just don't see the point of putting everybody in the end zone. You should build a wall in front of the end zone.
Right.
On those Hail Marys, you know, have three guys in the end zone and three guys at the three or the five and you know, getting guys as they come in and assigning them. He's going here. You go here. And there was no communication.
Right. And I'll say before I move into my power rankings, similarly, where we shouldn't get too down on a team or a guy is Michigan State. They won 27-22. Nebraska was, you know, they had a chance to sort of win the game or cut it close. Michigan State sort of sneaked out of there with the win. They didn't really perform well in the last 8 minutes of the game, but they dominated the first, 52 minutes. They absolutely dominated that game. They played like a playoff caliber team that I believe they may be. And if they can just similarly get their head in the game, you know, I think they had checked out mentally. And if they just get their head in the game and finish off games, I think they've got a very good chance to run the table in the Big Ten and get to the playoff.
I agree that they're going to probably run the table in the Big Ten. I don't know. I think the playoffs are going to be tough. I think it's going to come down to probably, you know, four or five teams trying to get the last two spots. It's going to be hard.
I agree with you, but if I was convinced of one thing from last weekend, it was that I don't think that many teams are going undefeated or even one loss. I think you're definitely getting a two-loss team in the playoff. I think Florida State's got the best chance of going undefeated. After that, I don't like anyone's chances of going undefeated. And especially these SEC teams, if two SEC teams get in, chances are one of them is going to have two losses. Michigan State could finish out with one loss. Most of the Pac-12 teams look like they're going to end with two losses. And then, Oklahoma Baylor, the winner of that game, might have a good shot too. So it's pointless and way too early to predict the playoff, but I do want to give my midseason power rankings. So
Okay.
number one is Auburn. Everything clicking with them. Nick Marshall is a Heisman candidate. They have two awesome receivers in Duke Williams and Coates. They have great running backs, great offensive line, strong defense. They just have everything. Their schedule is extremely difficult, but otherwise, just in terms of talent, I like them the most.
I agree. They're my number one as well.
So, second place, I have Florida State. I think that Florida State is, as Dan mentioned last week, they're in sort of just get it over with mode. They sort of believe that they can go undefeated or even lose one game in the regular season and still make the playoff just because they're the defending champ. They've got Jameis Winston. So they're not really trying. Now, the question becomes, can you not try all season and then turn it on in the playoff for two games? I don't think you can, but that's not really relevant now. So I've got them at number two.
Okay.
Number three, Ole Miss. The Mississippi teams are tied for third in the poll right now in the AP poll. I like Ole Miss a little bit better because the Alabama win was a real big quality win. As we said, Mississippi State beating Texas A&M, that was a nice win, but Texas A&M has some flaws, whereas Alabama's a premier program in the country. And Ole Miss, that was no fluke. They played strong with Alabama. They deserved to win that game. I've got them at three, and then I've got Mississippi State at four because of Dak Prescott and the power running game and the defense, and they look great too. Number five, I have Baylor. They are a little bit unproven in my mind. I thought the three touchdown win over Texas is a pretty nice showing. That's a rivalry game people have to remember. Even though Texas kind of sucks this year, it's still the big school in Texas, and Baylor's just supposedly this little Texas school to them. So for Baylor to go out and win that game by three touchdowns, I thought was really impressive. So, do you agree with any of that? Disagree? What do you think?
I agree with Auburn. I think Auburn's the best team in the country. I have Ole Miss number two. I think that they have the best defense in the country. And I think there's a lot to be said for having a senior quarterback. I think that, Nick Marshall and Bo Wallace, they have flaws, but they're seniors. And I think that plays a huge role. Number three is where I have Florida State. Again, I don't think it's anything against them. I just don't think they've done that much. I agree with everything you said. I do think that at some point they are going to realize it in the polls and they're going to try to get some style points when they can. I think this weekend's a great opportunity for that.
Oh,
We'll get to that later.
we'll certainly get to that.
And number four, I have Baylor. I love what you said. They're are improving a little bit, but this weekend, I think they have a great chance again to prove how good they are. And I think we saw how flawed Oklahoma is, which I said since day one. And I think Baylor has a great opportunity to beat Oklahoma by a touchdown or more, maybe. And I think it's good enough to get them at four. And I have Mississippi State, Alabama at five.
Okay, hard to argue with that. I mean, ours are so similar. As I mentioned, you watch ESPN all week and it's just guys like saying, who's the top five? Who's in the playoff? Who cares? All of these teams are going to play each other. So those are the teams I think have the most talent right now and are performing the best. But none of it matters, fortunately, because three of these teams play each other. Two of them play each other this week. So we'll find out.
Absolutely. Can't wait.
Now, the next note, there's going to be some fans of other teams, such as, say, Notre Dame, who are like, why am I not in there? So I want to quickly go through the undefeated teams, through other undefeated teams, and why they're not in that top five and why they will lose soon. Notre Dame, they've got Florida State next week. You can say goodbye. TCU, they have Baylor this week. If they get by Baylor, then they have Oklahoma State, Texas Tech, West Virginia, Kansas State all in a row. That's a tough schedule. There's no way they're getting through that undefeated. If they beat Baylor, then they're in a serious discussion to be a top five team. But I would chill on them until we see a little more. Arizona, same thing. USC this week. Then in November, they've got UCLA, Utah, and Arizona State. I don't see them getting through all those games. And then number 22, Georgia Tech. I shouldn't even have to go through this one, but I will. Their next five games are all ACC Coastal. Nobody's winning every game in the ACC Coastal. And if they somehow do, then they end the season with Clemson and Georgia, which are both going to be losses. So Georgia Tech, enjoy it while it lasts.
Agree with everything you said.
One other thing I'd like to go through. Teams receiving votes this week. Now, the poll came out, you know, Florida State's number one, Auburn's two, et cetera, et cetera. Baylor received one number one vote. I believe that person should lose their vote. Although I really like Baylor, how could you rank them number one over Auburn or Florida State?
I guess is it's a coach who got beat by Baylor. That's the only thing I could think of is somebody, one of the coaches, you know, Charlie Strong or whoever it is, walked off the field and said, "Whoa," and that's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah, that's not a bad point. Maybe it's June Jones or somebody who lost like 70-0 to them. Next, Penn State, who has been my favorite team since birth. U2. They have five votes, and Northwestern, who absolutely destroyed them, has zero. I know Northwestern has two losses and Penn State only has one, but that is a bad ranking. Northwestern clearly showed they're much better than Penn State. After that, North Dakota State has three votes. I think that's awesome. I actually think North Dakota State should be like a top 30, even inching up on top 25 team. I think they're really, really good, and they would give most FBS teams a lot of trouble.
Wow, I love it.
Do you have any thoughts on North Dakota State?
I don't. I have not seen them play since last year. I got to watch the game against Towson, the national championship game. I actually watched that in a casino sports book, waiting for the NFL playoffs to begin. That was the game before it, and I had to watch. That's the last I've seen them. They were damn impressive then, but not this year. I haven't seen them.
All right, and then Marshall. Marshall has 78 votes. They're currently ranked 27th in the country if the rankings went that high. Marshall may win out, but I'm here to tell you they are a fraud. They would not beat any team in the top 20.
Agreed.
And that's it. There's no reason for me to be so mean to Marshall, but if I'm just trying to temper people's expectations. If I start hearing like Marshall should be in the New Year's Six Bowls, there's no need for that whatsoever. Unless you want to gamble heavily against somebody.
I agree, but that's what I was going to say is for now, while they have a cupcake, keep riding them, keep making that money on them. But when it comes to bowl season, bet against them and double up.
Oh, could you imagine if we got like a 9-3 Mississippi State versus a 12-0 Marshall in the Chick-fil-A Bowl?
Murder.
Murder. Absolute murder. All right, I've got some other notes, but forget this. We've gone long enough. Let's just get right into the lines.
Do it.
Thursday night is an interesting game. BYU is at UCF. Taysom Hill is out for the season. He broke his leg in BYU's tragic loss to Utah State. That's a really tough one because I thought BYU was really, you know, a top 15 team in the country. And now I think it's fair to say that they're done. What I would say is there is another quarterback in this game named Justin Holman for UCF that people should pay attention to. He's a very good QB, especially by AAC standards. He's going to be one of the standouts by the end of the year, and he's going to put UCF in a position to challenge for the AAC. So I like UCF in this game, and I like Holman. I think BYU's done. I think losing Hill is just too much, even though BYU has plenty of other talent. That's just going to cripple them, and their backup didn't play particularly well. So do you care about this at all or what?
I'm not going to gamble on it. I am slightly intrigued to see this quarterback from UCF and then to see how this backup from BYU bounces back after what you said was a subpar effort in a really tough situation. It's interesting for gambling purposes in the future, but not for me this week.
Okay, I like that assessment. All right, Friday night game. Well, we can do the pick quickly, but I have some stats I'd like to read. Now, you live out on the West Coast in Phoenix. Many people live on the East Coast or the middle of the country where they would not have seen Washington State last week against Cal, because I believe this game ended something crazy like, what, 1:45 in the morning.
About that.
Connor Halliday is the quarterback for Washington State, and if you don't know who he is, you should get acquainted because he is awesome. In this game against Cal, now, first off, Washington State lost the game 60 to 59. Last week on the podcast, Dan told people to take the over, which was a crazy 79 points. Of course, both teams go out and they combine for 119, so it wasn't even close. Washington State lost on a 19-yard missed field goal at the end of the game, and that's how they lost 60 to 59. But in that losing effort, Connor Halliday threw for 734 yards, six touchdowns, 54 of 89 passing. And it sounds like I'm making that up, or it's a mistake, or I accidentally read his whole season numbers, but those are his numbers for one game. And
Incredible.
some more stats that I found on Connor Halliday. So, in that game alone, the 734 yards passing is almost three times as many passing yards as Washington State has rushing yards on the entire season.
Wow.
On the season, six games, Halliday, 3,052 yards passing and 26 touchdowns. His passing yardage is greater than 85% of FBS teams' total yardage. Just his passing yardage. And I think that's the last, yeah, I think that's it. My last stat is not really a stat, but it's Stanford can't run the ball. And that's why I am taking Washington State plus 17 points in this game on Friday.
I like it. I like it. I think when you have a team that loves to chuck it around like that, you know, it doesn't matter if they're down. They're gonna it's part of their offense anyways, and I think that's just a ton of points. I agree. I don't think Stanford's run game is great. They're not gonna be able to milk the clock as much, and I think the Pirate Coach Leach will be able to throw it around a bit. It's gonna be fun.
I like it. Now, I don't know if Washington State wins. It seems they find a way to lose every week, but 17 points, I would take it. I think they can score a few points. Stanford's got a really great defense, but as I said, they can't run. The emphasis is falling all on Kevin Hogan. He's got to throw the ball, and he has not really responded to that challenge. And I think, you know, it'll probably be some sort of scoring in the, you know, low 30s, high 20s. And I think Washington State keeps it close.
I like it.
All right. Let's move on to Saturday games. We're going to start with one of the biggest rivalries in college football. That is Texas and Oklahoma. They play in Dallas. Oklahoma's a 15-point favorite. The one stat I have on this, courtesy of the smartest man in college football, Phil Steele, is that Bob Stoops has never lost back-to-back regular season games at OU. Meaning there's a very good chance he's going to win this game. Now, 15 points, though, that's a lot of points.
I would say I'm probably biggest Bob Stoops hater out there. I am not a fan. I've never been a fan. But I think that I think after their loss last week, they have to put on a show. And I think this is a week that I'm actually going to lay the I'm going to lay it, and I'm going to take Oklahoma.
What is it you find so objectionable about Bob Stoops? Is it the whole big game Bob thing?
I just don't like him. I don't like his personality, the way he kind of carries himself on the sidelines, is holier than thou, you know, Big 12 kind of we're the big dog, and they're not. You know, people have caught them, and you know, I think I've probably been burned by too many Oklahoma alums in fantasy football over the years because they all seem to be busts or assholes. So yeah, I just don't like them. But in this case, it's all business, and I'm gonna put my money on the Sooners.
All right, so my issue with Bob Stoops, I wouldn't say I dislike him, but I have two issues with him. One is that I feel like he never has his team prepared for bowl games or after bye weeks. You know, when he gets time off, I feel like he doesn't use it to prepare teams. Like, well, a coach with his own problems is the legendary Joe Paterno. But what Paterno was awesome at, he was great at preparing his teams when they had a bye week, when they played the first game of the season, or when they played in a bowl game. They always came out with, you know, new plays. They were fired up. They really had the right attitude. Stoops is the opposite. I mean, the Boise State game, thank God that happened because it was the greatest game I've ever seen. But basically, that was just a horrible performance by Oklahoma in that game, which is what people forget. Some of the other bowl games, I mean, last year they played great against Alabama, but that was an anomaly. The other thing I don't like is that Oklahoma is one of the most thugged out teams in all college football. Quietly, the SEC teams get, you know, so I did a fantasy felon draft, which we will discuss a little bit later. And of course, most of the players taken in the college level were from the SEC or Florida State or Southern football. But I snuck in there with an Oklahoma pick that I think is going to be solid. And I think more Oklahoma guys should have went. I feel they were underrepresented for how thugged out their team is.
I agree. I think every year it feels like there's at least three guys suspended between the end of the season and the bowl game. I think that plays a lot into what you talked about, is Stoops just does not seem to do well when he's got too much free time. I think he's just, again, it comes back to the arrogance to me that, you know, we don't have to work extra hard. We're just going to do what we always do. And it's not that way. It's not business as usual in college football. It's got to be more than that when you have those big games. And when you have time and opportunity, you have to take advantage. And he doesn't. I agree.
All right. So I think at gunpoint, which I may be if I see any Oklahoma players, I would take Oklahoma and lay the 15. I don't think Texas is there yet. I think they'll be good in a couple years under Strong, but I just don't think they can compete. And Oklahoma, you know, as you said, they're going to be mad. It's going to be a bounce back game. I would lay it, but rivalry games, I don't like betting, so probably I'll stay away.
All right.
All right, spill it. A huge game, Illinois at Wisconsin. The spread is 25.5 in favor of Wisconsin, obviously. I'm going to let you take this one, so go for it.
Lay it. It's Wisconsin's going to destroy them. It's going to be one of those Wisconsin games that you see every year. There's always those one or two Wisconsin games, and not against the Cupcakes. It's always against a Big Ten team, and they come out and they have one of those random 56-6 games. And I think this might be that game.
You are aware that Joel Stave or Tanner McAvoy is going to play quarterback, correct?
Yeah, I think I could play quarterback and hand it off 50 times and win by 50. I just think they're that good. I think that they're really going to make a push to try to get more touches and get those Heisman eyes up in Madison.
How many pass attempts do you think these guys are allowed combined? I think the over-under is 14.5 in this game.
That's damn good. I'd say probably 17.5. No. Yeah, you're right. 14.5 is right.
I think you're going to see a healthy dose of Gordon, and I think this is going to be the week where we find out the names of about five other Wisconsin running backs. There's going to be guys who just joined the team last week getting carries in the fourth quarter. I agree with you. Wisconsin's going to win this game handily. Illinois is no good. Illinois' coach is going to be fired after the season. However, 25.5 is a lot to lay. I'm staying away, but if you think you can lay it, you know.
Lay it.
Go for it. I mean, you can't bet on Illinois. It's not allowed. No. So I guess you have to bet Wisconsin if you're betting this game.
Lay it or stay away. Agreed.
Right. All right. An exciting game coming up between FSU and Cuse. I've got a problem with this game, Spillett. So the line opened at 24.5. You know, Florida State and Jameis Winston coming up to the Carrier Dome. The line is now, when I checked right before the podcast, 23.5, which means people are betting on Syracuse.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. I think too much is being made about the injuries for Florida State. I think people aren't taking into account the fact that Syracuse is indoors on turf in a dome with no weather. And Florida State just has much, much, much better athletes. And then the other thing that I don't think anyone's talking about, because I don't know that anyone cares outside of upstate New York.
Terrell Hunt?
Not just Terrell Hunt being out, which, yeah, that's a huge deal.
Yeah, people, Syracuse has no quarterback. None.
They have no offensive coordinator. They just demoted their offensive coordinator 2 days ago and promoted the quarterback's coach.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't fire him. He's going to coach wide receivers, but they pulled him off of play calling. Why is that not a bigger deal than one wideout, one running back out for Florida State? Who cares? They got 16 running backs that are better than anyone on Syracuse.
Why would you accept that? I mean, imagine if you went to your job and you're, you know, a corporate manager, and then one day they're like, yeah, we're gonna promote your assistant to your job, and you're gonna become the assistant.
Yeah,
I don't think. I mean, if it were me, I would say, all right, it's been a pleasure knowing you. I'm not going to be the assistant for the guy who was my assistant yesterday.
Well, he's gonna get paid.
Oh,
but keep in mind, he left Arkansas in the SEC to take that Syracuse job and got 18 games. To call plays before he was demoted. That is a way bigger deal than a few players out for Florida State. Lay the point. Lay it. It should be 38.5.
I totally agree. And Terrell or Terrell Hunt, I never remember which way he pronounces his name. I think it's Terrell. He was not good per se. However, Syracuse's backup's really bad. And we saw after Terrell got thrown out of that Villanova game, we saw how they performed with the backup in. This game's going to be 56-0. I know that Florida State's been laying up, but against Syracuse, a win by 45 will be laying up.
I agree. And again, it comes to style points. People are passing them in the polls, even though they're undefeated. They need a style win. With Notre Dame coming up next week, this is a chance for them to get a nice 50-point win and then prepare for next week.
Okay, time for the Doris Burke Memorial Noon Eastern ESPNU Watch ESPN app Game of the Week. Indiana heads to Iowa, where the Hawkeyes are a 5-point favorite. I like an upset in this game, and I will give no further analysis. I think Indiana's sneaky good, and I think Iowa sucks. Upset. Straight up, Indiana.
Beautiful. I love it.
Yeah, anything to add, or do you not care like most of America?
Doris Burke's involved. I don't care.
Okay, I don't know if she's actually announcing this game. I feel like they would put her on this because it's a horrible Big Ten game and it's at noon.
Oh, it smells like Doris.
It's definitely got the scent of a Doris Burke game. So we can move along. Do you have any thoughts on West Virginia, Texas Tech?
Over.
What is the over-under?
It's a hearty 73.5. I don't care. Davis Webb is back, as far as I know, for Texas Tech. I know West Virginia can score, and I love the over. I think it's a ton of points, but I don't think either team can stop anybody, so I'm going to bet the over.
All right, Georgia at Missouri. Missouri is a 3-point underdog in this game, despite being the home team. This could be a battle for the SEC East. I'm not sure. It's probably going to be about a 3-point game, so I'm going to stay away.
I'm going to bet the under. Rival, it's a big game. They know this is probably for the SEC East lead, and I just see this being a low-scoring, hard-hitting, really, really fast clockwise game. I'd love the under. It's 62. It seems like way too many points for this game, and I'm going to bet the under.
Okay, I'm on board with that. Speaking of the state of Georgia, we've got Duke at Georgia Tech. I have heard that they're going to, instead of playing football, they're just going to do math equations to see who wins this one. No, two things. First off, Georgia Tech, as I mentioned before, is undefeated. So this, their next string of games, if they want to take the ACC Coastal, which is possible, it starts with this one. They need to win. However, they were favored by 5, and the line has moved to 3 since. So it seems like people are on board with Duke. I don't know. Georgia Tech is on my no, my Mark Richt, Mark D'Antonio no fly zone of teams I don't like to bet on.
I agree. I just think they're so unentertaining to watch. I just don't know enough about them. And to be honest with you, I'm kind of done with Duke after being really high on Duke and making a wager on them to beat Miami outright. And yeah, I'm done. I'm going to stay away from this game.
Yeah, I think the move is to bet Georgia Tech if you have to. Duke losing to Miami pretty much shows me that they're not going to compete in the ACC Coastal this year. It's definitely not the same Duke team as last year when they sort of captured magic in a bottle a little bit. So I would take Georgia Tech, but again, Georgia Tech with their weird offensive wishbone attack, whatever you want to call it, they're not a team I like to put faith in. Their quarterback can't really throw. If a team finds a way to shut down the run, then they're done. So far, most teams have not been able to do it, in the last few years. Georgia Tech, even though you know what they're going to do, they still manage to do it. So I don't like them. I don't trust them, but I wouldn't take Duke.
No, I think after watching the way Duke Johnson ran all over the Blue Devils, I think they're going to have a hard time stopping the run.
All right, Michigan State at Purdue. Purdue has 0% chance in this game. I definitely like Michigan State, but one thing I would note, Purdue's going to be wearing a special helmet that's a cancer survivor helmet, and it's hard to explain. You can Google it, but there's a yellow stripe that runs down the middle of the helmet, and in the back it turns into the yellow cancer ribbon. Everyone should look it up or flip to this game for a few minutes and take a look. It's really cool. I like it, and they're going to get killed, but the helmets will look cool.
I agree. I think this is a great opportunity for a hook, which is what I'm going to do and take Michigan State in the under. I think this is probably one of those 38-0, 45-0 type of games. 54 and a half seems high. I don't think Purdue can score, and I think Michigan State is just going to, run on them and keep it low. And I think 38-0 sounds about right to me.
Yeah, you know Purdue's in bad shape when people are getting excited over their win last week against Illinois. Not good.
Yes.
Okay, Louisville at Clemson. So this is a somewhat big game. You've got Louisville, who has been performing pretty well despite losing a lot of talent, Teddy Bridgewater and their coach. They go to Clemson. The line began at 12.5. It's now down to 9.5. And Devontae Parker is back and possibly will play for the first time all year. For those who don't know, he's a great Louisville receiver who broke his foot in the preseason. And him coming back, if he can play and be effective, is a huge, huge boost for their offense, if they can get him the ball, that is. And I think that's probably why the line moved, was because of that news, but I'm not sure. And I don't have a pick in this game. Do you?
No, I think for all the same reasons as you, I think there's just too much up in the air. And, I'm going to stay away from this one, but it could be entertaining.
Yeah, it's weird. Louisville, always had the strong offense, and they've always had a somewhat underrated defense. This year, their defense is really good. I mean, they've really put it together, and they're playing better than they ever have. Their offense, I think, has taken a step back, which may be fixed with Parker. So, I don't know. It's a weird Louisville team that's a little bit of the opposite of your normal Louisville teams.
Charlie Strong recruiting class. He was recruiting that type of player on defense.
Yeah, and this is really sort of the culmination of his defensive recruiting efforts, even though he's not there anymore to enjoy it. So stay away from that game. Another game you should stay away from is North Carolina at Notre Dame, 16.5 point line. I hate this game. I think this is a huge trap for Notre Dame. They just had a huge win over Stanford, the miraculous, 4th and 11 catch in the end zone. They had no business winning that game. They did somehow. Next week, they've got Florida State, which is their Super Bowl, basically. I think they're going to be looking ahead, and I think I wouldn't quite put them on upset alert since UNC is not very good, but I think you're looking at probably around single digit lead heading into the fourth quarter. And then it's just a matter of, you know, whether one of the teams scores garbage time points. So it's a dangerous bet either way.
I agree. I definitely agree. It's a stay away from me. This has trap game written all over it. But after watching East Carolina drop 70 on the Tar Heels, I can't in good faith put any money on the Tar Heels. Stay away.
No, do not bet on North Carolina. That's a bad decision. Let's see. What's up next? Alabama at Arkansas. Again, weird trap game. A&M next week for Alabama. Normally, I would say a look-ahead game, but you've got Alabama coming off that critical loss at Ole Miss, and there's a potential they're going to want to bounce back and have a big win over Arkansas. So I'm leaning a little toward that. This is one of these ones I'm going to decide probably on Saturday morning what I want to do. But I'm leaning Alabama, and I definitely wouldn't take Arkansas.
Completely agree with everything you said. I'm probably leaning towards Alabama, but I'm going to wait.
By the way, you can buy a piece of the Ole Miss goalpost for $1,000 if you're interested.
Sold out.
Oh, it's sold out.
They had the $500 3-inch pieces and the $1,000 6-inch pieces, and they sold out in less than 3 hours, I read.
I saw some photos of kids taking the field goal post across campus and then into their dorm room.
That's still there.
That's the greatest thing. Imagine that in your college experience. Your team beats the number 3 team in the country or the number 1 team in the country, according to CBS.
Yes.
We need to talk about that, by the way. So I know CBS wants to make the game as big as possible, but you're not allowed to use the coaches' poll. And it'll be curious to see CBS what rankings they use this week when the AP poll makes their game look better.
They're going to go with that poll.
Yeah, of course. They just pick the poll that makes the game look the best. They're like, number one, Alabama's just lost. It's like, you could maybe do that some years, but since Florida State's been ranked number one for over a year now, I think everybody knows you're lying.
Yeah, I agree.
Nice try, CBS. And take Bama in that game, I guess, is what we've decided.
Yes.
All right. Penn State at Michigan. Michigan is a -1 favorite. Michigan, I guess, should be favored by 1 because Penn State's playing poorly. Michigan's at home. But I feel it's disrespectful to America to favor Michigan over anyone at this point. I feel like it's a slap in the face to anyone who's watched Michigan play lately.
I agree. I definitely agree. This is totally off. I mean, like you said, I think you have to make the line kind of like this, but I just don't see it. I think Penn State's a 2-point favorite, not a huge favorite, you know, 1.5 to 2. I'm probably going to put a small little wager on Penn State, but I will definitely not put any money on Michigan the rest of the year.
So I hate this game. As a big Penn State fan, I've said before, they have the worst offensive line I've seen in 30 years. They've got great young receivers. Deshaun Hamilton is a future star. Christian Hackenberg is a current star and going to be an even bigger star in the future. Their defense is solid. They've got okay running backs, not great. They've got Jesse James, my favorite tight end in the nation. But the offensive line just can't hold up, and they're really bad. And unfortunately, you can't do anything when your offensive line gives you 0.2 seconds to throw on every play. So I wouldn't say I like Michigan, but I think, man, I don't know. I think we're looking at a shootout. I think it's going to be reminiscent of these two teams when they played last year, and it was the triple overtime crazy game. I think we're going to see something like that. Take the over. I think it's going to be 42-40 finish.
Wow. I like it.
I have some potential Michigan coaches. I want to throw these out to you.
Oh, boy.
So Dan and I have been big fans of getting Jim Tressel to be the Michigan coach, and with him trying to recruit Braxton Miller, who I believe he recruited originally. JT Barrett had a big step forward last week. So now it's going to be a QB controversy next year should Braxton come back. I think it's time for a clean split. I think Braxton transfers to Michigan with new coach Jim Tressel.
No. And not for the reasons that people would think. It's because the commissioner of the Big Ten is an Ohio State guy, and there's just no way he's going to let that happen.
Yeah, it's somewhat of a joke, but it would be awesome for that to happen.
Oh, so, be hilarious.
So I have a few other guys, and I'll throw them out there. First is, by the way, none of these guys are probably interested or even available, but I'm going to throw them out anyway. First is Brett Bielema. He's doing a good job at Arkansas. They're better than last year, but if he were to just look around and say, I play in the greatest division in college football, I play against six teams that are going to just beat up on me every single year, and they're only getting better every year, maybe I should head back to the Big Ten where I dominated. Go back to Michigan, start a power running attack like he had at Wisconsin. I think he could be very successful there.
I agree. I think he'd be a great addition. Unfortunately, I don't see him leaving the SEC unless he's going to his alma mater, Iowa. And, you know, that's just kind of where what I feel about him.
Okay, the other guy is a guy who coaches right down the road at Northwestern, Pat Fitzgerald. Now, Northwestern, for you young listeners, was the laughingstock of all college football maybe 20 years ago. Then under Randy Walker, they had a really good year, a breakout year, and he had them semi-competitive. Fitzgerald took over in, I think, 2006. He's been there about 10 years, and he's had them very competitive. You have to keep in mind that this is a team that is way smarter than everyone they play against. It's basically like taking Harvard or Yale and putting them against a bunch of state schools. They should get destroyed every single week. The fact they've been competitive, I think, shows how good of a coach Fitzgerald is. And, you know, he's probably content, but if he were looking to make a move, a step up in terms of prestige, make a move to the big time, I think he'd be an excellent coach for Michigan.
I agree. I don't see him leaving, but I think it would be a great career move. I think it would be an amazing hire. And I agree. I think he's one of the more underrated coaches in the country.
Okay. Now, here's a guy who I don't know what he thinks, but I think this one might have a shot. And that is, you're going to laugh now, but that would be Mark Stoops, who is doing an excellent job at Kentucky. He's a Big Ten guy. He went to Iowa, which is not Michigan. I don't know what kind of rivalry he feels toward Michigan, but he is a coach on the rise. He's going to be out of Kentucky within a few years and somewhere bigger. I think Michigan could snap him up.
I think that would be, as much as I don't like the Stoops name, I think that would be a great hire for them. I think it would be a big step up in prestige, getting a coach like that with that name, but it would be hard. It would be hard to convince anybody to leave the SEC.
Yeah, but Michigan can pay a lot.
Yes, I agree. If anyone's going to bail, I could see him bailing.
So my choice is Jim Tressel, one, Mark Stoops, two, Tom Brady retires and becomes Michigan coach at three, and four, Scott Drysback.
Okay.
You don't even know who that is. No one knows who that is, do they?
No, I don't.
He was the other quarterback who played around the same time as Tom Brady and who was better.
Gotcha. I am going to stay with the Tom Brady tie and say my front runner is Greg Schiano.
Oh, no.
I agree. It's a horrible decision. But I have this weird feeling with the Rutgers Patriots shit, and Schiano's out of work. He's looking to get back into college. He's been known as being a disciplinarian. That's why he sucked in the NFL. Michigan needs that after all this crap with Hoke and looking like he runs a bit of a loose ship. I could see them talking themselves into Schiano. I could see his references being impeccable, you know, as far as Belichick and those guys. I'm sure Bob Kraft will probably write a letter too. And watch out for it. That's my dark horse candidate for the Michigan job is chopping wood Schiano.
From a practical standpoint, I think that's a good choice. It could happen. From a standpoint of if I think it's a good decision, I cannot condone that whatsoever. Not at all.
No, no. And with Rutgers being in the Big Ten now, I think he would like that. I think he would enjoy getting to beat his own old team.
Ugh. All right, let's move along and talk about another school that's probably going to have a coaching vacancy sometime soon. That is Florida, who hosts LSU. It's a 1.5-point spread. LSU's favored in this game, which doesn't say much for Florida. Potential Florida coaches, I wrote some down. I'm assuming Will Muschamp is going to suck the rest of the year and get fired.
Correct.
Brian Schottenheimer.
Okay.
He's a Florida alum. He's got NFL experience. He's, I don't know if you'd call him a good coordinator, but a mid-level to above mid-level coordinator. I think he, with his connections in Florida, could be a good coach. Next up, Danny Werfel. I have no idea whether he can coach or not, but he's the greatest player in Florida history, and I feel like he would be a great impact to the community. And even if he sucked as a coach, oh, hang on. Oh, you're back. Oh, we lost you for a minute.
Yeah, my Skype crashed. I still have no picture.
Aaron Hernandez heard you were going to talk some shit about Florida, and he killed your line.
I agree.
All right, do you have a pick for LSU Florida?
As far as this game goes, I think this is a classic under. I did really well with that Florida-Tennessee under last week. I'm going to ride that Muschamp can't score crap. LSU's figuring out a freshman quarterback. 47 is an NFL-esque over under, but I love the under. I would be surprised if this even hit 30.
I agree. 16-12.
I like it.
I don't even know how that works out math wise, but that's what I'm going with.
I was going to say like 16-9.
There'd have to be a safety involved somehow.
Yeah, 4 field goals is possible. These teams suck in the red zone.
Speaking of teams who suck, not just in the red zone, but everywhere, UConn goes to Tulane in one of two possibly winnable games for the rest of UConn's season. Tulane, of course, is favored by 3.5 because they're still better than UConn. The fact that Tulane is 1-4, ninth in the AAC, and they're favored by 3.5, that really says a lot about UConn. Everything you need to know.
Exactly. And to be honest with you, it is a winnable game on paper, but these kids are going down into New Orleans.
True.
They have zero interest in this game. Bet Tulane and move on.
Oh, you think UConn's going to be throwing beads from Mardi Gras?
Oh, absolutely. There's going to be some curfew snafus. There's no way they're going to go into New Orleans and win this game.
Okay, so what I found out when looking into this game, which I would not advise anyone to look into this game because that is a total waste of your time, but I did find out an interesting thing. First off, UConn will try out some new running backs and quarterback. I say go for it. Can't get worse. This is UConn's. UConn has two chances to win this year. One is December 6th hosting SMU. SMU has no coach. They're terrible. That's probably a winnable game. This is their second most winnable game, and they're a 3.5-point underdog. Now, what I found out is that Joe Montana's son, Nick Montana, might get the start for Tulane in this game. And if that happens, you can't bet against a Montana. It's not allowed.
The thing is, this kid's on like his fifth college. Swear to God, Nick Montana's been to like 4 or 5 colleges. He's washed out everywhere.
Yeah, and he's no Joe Montana, that's for sure. But just the name alone is more than UConn can handle. Is it possible there's a different Joe Montana? That this is his son?
Oh, this is Joe Montana, the actor's son.
Oh, okay.
Total mishap. No big deal.
All right. So I think as sad as it is, I'm going to go Tulane, but I'm going to try to get that at 3 rather than 3.5.
I agree. 3. I think that's the play. If it hits 3, make a play. If it stays at 3.5, don't bet it.
Here's a game I like. A weird one. Wyoming at Hawaii. Hawaii -4, -5, depending where you look. It is a 11:59 p.m. Eastern start time. Wyoming is first in the Mountain Division, but You have to go to Hawaii. And in Hawaii, Oregon State has struggled. Washington has struggled. That's a really tough trip and a tough place to play. My parents are headed out to Hawaii in a few weeks, and they actually are stopping in California for 2 days to just recover from that half of the trip so that they have enough energy. Now, they're, 63 and not 23 or whatever, but still, I think you got to take Hawaii. I think Wyoming is going to find that to be a tough trip. Plus, I don't even know if they have airports in Wyoming. They might have to drive to Denver or something like that.
They have one. I actually, believe it or not, went out to dinner last week with a friend of mine who's from Wyoming and went to the University of Wyoming, and she now works for the University of Wyoming. We were out to dinner, and I agree, talking to her and just going from Wyoming to Phoenix was a bit of a shock for her. Mm-hmm. Going from Wyoming to Hawaii, again, I think this is the same as UConn going to New Orleans. They're not going to show up. They're going to be too interested in everything else.
All right, so I think it's unanimous then. Hawaii it is.
And I'll be up to watch this game.
Yes, not me. This might be a rare game where I am asleep before it even starts.
More than likely, yes. But for me, starting at 9 o'clock, beautiful.
My dad will actually he could catch the end of it. He probably wakes up early enough. He'll miss it on the front side, but he might catch the fourth quarter when he wakes up for the morning. big games this week. USC at Arizona. I feel that there is a USC bias in this game. Arizona is undefeated. They're ranked in the top 10. They're at home. They should be favored by at least a field goal in this game. I know people don't think they're for real and that they were somehow lucky to defeat Oregon and that Rich Rod's the head coach and that USC is the great USC, but based on just performance this year, there's no reason why Arizona shouldn't be favored in this game.
I agree. And this is the curious part is USC is not typically a public team. You know, unlike Notre Dame or the Dallas Cowboys, where their lines are always a bit inflated because Vegas has to account for the public, USC's not that team. They're not, even though they're LA, they've never been a team that have inflated lines, and this just does not make any sense to me. I spoke to a friend at work today who's a USC alum. He is completely baffled by this line too, and I think that told me all I needed to know. I'm going to stay away. But I am going to bet the over of 68. I think this game definitely gets into the 80s.
Okay. Ole Miss at Texas A&M. Ole Miss beats Bama. They're third in the country. Now they're a 2-point underdog the following week.
I think Vegas had enough with the home dogs last weekend. I think that really, really crushed them pretty good. And I think they're taking that into account. And I don't buy it. I think this is probably going to be Ole Miss. I think they're going to win the game outright, and that's going to be my bet. I'm going to take them on the money line.
Right, and I'm going to take them too because I believe that although home field advantage in college football is a bigger advantage than any other sport, I do feel like people just don't believe in Ole Miss, even though they beat Alabama. It seems like the impression is that was kind of a fluke, that they kind of played over their heads. And to me, they're one of the top five, if not top three teams in the country. They deserve to be ranked where they are. They deserve to beat Bama. They're better than Texas A&M. The 12th man does make it tough, and that's what makes me a little apprehensive. And Kenny Hill, of course, is awesome. But I think Ole Miss is a better team, and so I'll take Ole Miss straight up.
I love it.
All right, next big game, TCU at Baylor. Line has moved from 10 to 8. Baylor, though, getting a lot of respect. TCU's ranked 9th in the country, I think, or 8th, something like that. And Baylor's still favored by more than a touchdown.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with the line. I think it's right. I know Baylor's offense didn't look terribly great, even though they won by over 20 last week against Texas. But keep in mind, that was the first game all season that Baylor had their full complement of receivers. So And Petty's been hurt and hasn't been practicing fully either. So that was the first time that he's really had the chance to air it out with these guys who from now on are going to be his top guys. I mean, KD Cannon was leading the country in receiving up until last week, and he's going to probably be the three for Baylor right now. So I love Baylor. I think they're going to be getting healthy and hitting their prime right now. And I'm gonna lay it. It's a scary thing to do, but I'm going to lay it.
I'm very apprehensive on this one. I don't feel good about it at all. TCU, I don't know that much about. They look pretty good against Oklahoma, although Oklahoma does look like a little bit of a flawed team. Baylor's shown me nothing so far. They've dominated bad competition. Even Texas, I mean, I'm proud of them for winning that game, the rivalry, but Texas is not that great. I think Baylor has potential to win this one really big. I also think TCU has potential to upset them outright. And for that reason, I have to stay away because I just can't get a read on the game. I think either team could win. I don't think TCU will blow out Baylor. I do think Baylor could blow out TCU, but I think TCU could definitely win it. And as you can probably tell, I just don't have any fucking clue, like none at all.
No, I know. It's a tough one. It's a tough one to bet on. But one thing I do want to point out, this is the biggest game in the state of Texas. How crazy is that? TCU at Baylor is the biggest college football game in the state of Texas this weekend.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, these are the best two teams in the state of Texas.
Ole Miss at A&M is probably the second biggest game, which leaves Oklahoma, Texas, one of the biggest rivalries in the country, as the third biggest game in the state that day.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy to me that that game is as much history as there is. It's at best the third best game in the state.
Baylor has been slowly establishing their dominance over the Big 12 for years. TCU has been up and down. Last year, they were, 4-8? And this year, they're vying for most improved team, I think, this year. Is there Absolutely. Another team that was worse last year that's going to end up better than TCU this year?
I can't think of any off the top of my head. I think I don't know what Mississippi State's record was last year, but yeah, I think that's probably a fair bet that TCU's the most improved.
Well, Mississippi State went to a bowl game, so they won at least 6 or 7. Okay. I think in terms of a team that wasn't even bowl eligible to now being probably a top 15 team by the time the season ends. I think you're looking at TCU most improved 2014.
I agree. And I think a lot of that had to do with the issues they had last year with their quarterback, Paul Hall getting arrested, and in going into the summer, he had to go through these rehab things and all sorts of, he had to jump through all these hoops to prove that he was going to, change and be back, and they prepared to have him being the quarterback, and he blew his chance again, and it was just a big disaster, and there's a lot of distractions. I love this TCU team. I think they're great. I think Gary Patterson is the most underrated coach in the country, and it's going to be a great game, but I still think Baylor's is better, and they're better by more than a touchdown.
So much like we talked about earlier with A&M sort of still being a Big 12 team on defense and not fully adapting to the SEC, TCU kind of took a while to adapt to the Big 12, and they're finally starting to do more of the shotgun, high-powered offensive attack that you see in the Big 12. And I think that's been a big reason for the resurgence.
Absolutely. And the reason is because they hired a former Texas Tech offensive coach.
Oregon at UCLA. This line was 3, and then moved to 2.5. Which I think is important because I think we're looking at a 3-point game.
This is a total stay away from me, except that I'm going to bet the over yet again. Love my Pac-12 overs, 69. I think this is going to be a game that could be 49-46, some that type of game.
You can hear me being speechless here. I have no clue. I like Oregon. I've liked Oregon since the beginning of the year. They've had some injury problems and some problems on the offensive line. If they can get that straightened out, I like them against anyone they play. if the offensive line is shaky, then I think we're looking at a shootout because I don't fully trust UCLA either. So,
yep, I agree. And remember, Oregon lost their top four tackles.
Right.
That's awful. And like you said, if they can figure that out, and I don't think UCLA is terribly good right now, I see a total shootout.
I see UCLA as a top 20 team, maybe a top 15 team, but not a top 10 team. I do think Oregon climbs their way back into the top 10 by end of the year. I think, but I'm not sure, that they will have one to two of those offensive linemen back, those tackles you mentioned. So if that's the case, I'm going with Oregon by three. I don't know if you want to make a bet on 2.5 points when you think the team's going to win by three, but, you know, do what makes you feel good. We can move along now. The next game, the big game of the week, Auburn at Mississippi State. This is the biggest game of the week. You've got the number two team in the country versus the number three team, tied for number three team in the country. I'm going to turn it over to you.
I'm going to go ahead and say take Auburn with 1,000% certainty. I think they win this game. I don't think it's going to be easy, but I think they absolutely find a way to win this game. And I think they beat them by probably 6 to 10 points.
I like Auburn. They're my favorite team in the country. I think they're the most talented team. I think this presents one of their toughest challenges of the year, going into Starkville and playing there against a team that's red hot, a quarterback that feels like he can do anything. I got to go with Auburn. I can't bet against Auburn is basically what it comes down to. But my confidence level is much, much lower than yours. My confidence level's at about a 28%, I would say.
Okay. I agree. I mean, first time that College Game Day has ever gone to Starkville. So that's a huge deal. The only two schools in the SEC they never went to was Mississippi and Mississippi State. They knock them out in consecutive weekends. And home field in college is more than 3 points, but I still think Auburn. I have no problems with Auburn. We win this game.
Do you think Auburn's defense is going to hold up against Prescott and Mississippi State?
I think so. I think that they're they don't have the big name NFL caliber guys, but I think they have a good scheme, and I think that they're just fearless. I mean, you watch those guys; they're not the biggest guys, but they're just fearless.
Yeah, I agree. Auburn's, you know, their offense has gotten tons of props and rightfully so, but their defense did really shut down LSU totally. Okay. Dan has written in via email. Although he couldn't make it here tonight, he sends one pick and it's this game. He says Auburn is the lock of the week. He also wants me to remind people that he went 17-4 with his picks last week, which is outstanding. I personally went 7-4. That's with my written picks. I don't know what I did in the podcast. Probably not as well as Dan. But if he says lock of the week and you say 100% certainty, then I think we've got ourselves a consensus there. All right, you have one other game that you want to discuss, and it is by no means on par with the ones we've just been discussing. Would you like to take it?
Sure. I'm going to stick with the take the points podcast theme, and I'm going to stick with the Louisiana Monroe at Kentucky. Kentucky's a 21.5-point favorite, and that's just, I know they're much improved. I know they're technically in the SEC, but we are dangerously close to basketball season. 21.5 is way too many points for Kentucky to be favored over a real team. UL Monroe and ULL, they love to cover. They haven't been as great this year doing it, but I think this is a game that I'm definitely going to lay it, or I'm going to take the points, take UL Monroe. And then one other bonus pick for your listeners out here with the UT San Antonio under, and go ahead and parlay that with the East Carolina over. And then enjoy that payday. That's a lock.
So who have you got there? You've got East Carolina goes to South Florida, And that's a 58-point over-under.
One thing I will say about East Carolina is they average 58 points a game. How is the over-under 58? That's what they put up a game. It just doesn't make sense. It seems way too low. And UTSA unders have been great. They've been a lock all year. It's 45 home against Florida International. Florida International can't score on some good high school teams in Florida. And I just see this being a super, super low scoring 17-6 type of game. Like I said, I love the parlay. That's my my favorite parlay of the weekend.
Florida International actually has a very good defense relative to the competition they play. So I like that pick, even though 45 is very low. East Carolina and South Florida, as you said, East Carolina averages, 58 points? South Florida, I do think, can score up to 6 points. So I think you're looking at an over there. We're talking about a team that I believe put 17 on UConn. So that shows you the prolificness of South Florida's offense.
The rain in stores. This is in San Antonio. The weather's going to be fine. Super low game. Super low. Love it.
Okay. Well, I'm on board with that. The UL Monroe. Now, you know that I am the number one fan of UL teams. UL Monroe, UL Louisiana, La Tech, LSU. I love the state of Louisiana. However, the entire state, including Tulane, also is very down this year. They're not New Mexico bad, but as a state, Louisiana not doing well in football this year. And Kentucky is much improved under future Michigan coach Mark Stoops. Boy. So I don't like that one at all. I actually think Kentucky's going to blow them out.
Kentucky's got to prove it to me. They need to show that they can actually blow somebody out, and then I'll get on their bandwagon a bit. But until they actually prove that they can blow somebody out, especially coming off some emotional conference wins, this just has let down, slop fest, squeak it out by 10 at best type of game.
All right, folks. Well, unfortunately, that brings us to the end of the games. Not unfortunately, because we just covered a million games. So fortunately, we're done. I will tell you, takethepoints.net is the website. You can get the podcast on iTunes, as always, or on the iPhone podcast app. All right, Spillett, anything you'd like to add?
No, man. I'm really happy that you had me on. I'm glad I was able to step in for Dan and try to fill some of those shoes. But had a blast listening to the podcast every week. And excited to continue to make some picks here.
All right. Well, thanks for stepping in at the last minute. It's an honor to have you. Everyone else, thank you for listening. TakeThePoints.net is the website, and we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Take the point. Take the point. Take the point. Take the point. The point.